Think we're at 10. I think we have, I have 11, Ellen. So go ahead and call the roll if you could. Let me give a quick little intro. So this is the October 9th, 2024 meeting of the WPFW LSB. I'm Kamal Harris, the treasurer of the board, sitting in for our chair, Dennis Williams, and vice chair, Wayne Bruce. Ellen Carter is our secretary. Ellen, would you go ahead and take the roll?
Anita has already said she has an emergency. She will not be able to be here, so excused absence. Vanessa, I think I saw her. Vanessa? She's muted, but I
I'm
do
here.
see her.
I'm here. Here I go.
Okay. Thank you. Verna? I didn't see Verna.
She's in another Zoom. She's saying she can't. She's in some other waiting room. I don't see her in this one. So if someone could help her out with the correct link, that'd be great. She called me.
Okay. So excused. Well, she'll be here.
She'll
Wayne
be there, I
Bruce
think.
is
Yeah.
excused absent. Michael Byfield. I don't see him, but he may be running late. I haven't heard anything from him. Bill Curtis.
I'm here.
Violetta. She may just be running late. Wanda.
I'm here.
Sue.
Present.
Okay. Robert. Robert Gordon. Okay. I haven't
He
heard
just
anything
logged
from.
in. He just logged
Okay.
in. He's here.
Okay. Donna did say she would not be able to make it, so excused absence. Kamal, you're here. Arthur Hyland.
Good evening. I am here.
Also Michael Hirsch. Actually, I should have said him after Kamal, but Michael Hirsch.
Yes, I'm here.
I
Thank
think
you.
I saw him. Okay. Andrew Craig.
Hi, I'm here.
Ambrose. Ambrose. Patrick Morrison also sent an email saying he would un was unable to make it. Tony Leon. Tony Leon. Okay, I haven't heard anything from him. Mariah also said that she probably won't be able to make it. She sent an email. Ron Pinchback. I see him, but okay, he's here. Okay. Minerva.
Present.
Minerva, I didn't hear you, but I see you.
I said present, Ellen.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Adele? Anyone see Adele or hear from her?
I have not.
Dennis? Okay. Dennis also contacted us that he wouldn't be able to make the meeting. Okay, so I'll go back just in case someone has come in now. Michael Byfield, has he come in?
Not yet.
All right. Violetta? She in?
Not yet.
I don't see. Ambrose Lane? You
Nope,
don't
not
see
yet.
him? Tony Leon? I don't see
Nope.
him. Adele Stan? Okay, if they do come in, if you could let me know.
I'm here.
I haven't
I don't
heard.
know if you got me. This is Verna Avery Brown.
I did. I have you, Verna.
Okay. Also, Robert Gordon said to let you know that he will be late.
I'm here, Verna.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, he's here.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Ellen, so much for that. And I appreciate the time and effort, everybody, for getting here this evening. We have our agenda that is out. I will go ahead and read the agenda. Tonight's agenda is log on and greetings until 6:40 p.m. Approval of the agenda in minutes, 6:45. Program, director report.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have we established quorum?
We have.
That's it.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll start again. Log on greetings, roll call, 6:40 p.m. Approval of agenda in minutes, 6:45 p.m. Program director report with questions, 7 p.m. Development, please mute. Development director report questions, 7:15. Interim general manager report with questions, 7:30. Finance committee report, 7:45. The mass committee report, 8 p.m. Community comment until 8:35 p.m. PMB report at 8:50 p.m. Any new business, 9 p.m. Action item agreements and summary, 9:05 p.m. Estimated adjourn time. That is the agenda. Are there any updates, adds, or subtractions from the agenda?
You founded your company because you love
it. All right. Hearing none, the agenda is accepted.
Mr. Chair, no. Mr. Chair, I'm trying to raise my hand.
I don't see it, but go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to request an amendment to the agenda.
Go for it.
Okay. The what I'm asking is that the mass report be dropped from the agenda because of issues surrounding that report. It was not voted on by the mass committee. And we have some issues concerning that report. So we would like that report withheld pending further action on the mass committee's part to correct the situation. And that is my motion is that the mass report be stricken from the deleted from the agenda for tonight.
It's been moved by Member Pinchback that the mass committee report be removed from the agenda this evening. Is there a second for that particular motion?
I second that.
Seconded by Member Avery Brown. Any discussion? I see a hand. Member Sanders, Member Leon, and Member Avery Brown in that order.
For a small monthly donation of just $10.
Okay.
Member Sanders, you're up.
Yep. You're recognizing me? Thank you. Okay, I object to the motion that's been placed. The report came out to the full mass committee, and it sat there for a while. And later on, I think towards the end of Monday, that's when these objections began. The report should be presented, and if they want to do clarification or something, then we could maybe do a short executive session, or either wait, they can bring forward something next meeting with their comments. But I don't think this information should be restricted. There are at least three different meetings that are covered in that one report. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Leon.
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to say I was present for roll call purposes. I'm the chair of the Mass Committee. I sent the report out. Apparently, no one read the report before I could send it out to the LSB secretary and chair. I assume that everybody on the committee was okay with the report. But later on, I found out that, they would like to make some amendments. So, like Minerva said, there are three meetings in that report, and I believe, several of the members of the committee have a problem with just one of the meetings, in the report. And so if they would like to amend the report, I'm okay with that. And, the report, that is existing right now, are my views of, the meetings that took place. And, apparently, my views only, unless there's someone else, who are okay with the narrative of the meeting. Thank you.
And Mr. Thank Chair, you, I am in support of what the, it's to the point. It's correct. Thank
you. I'm hearing two objections to the motion on the floor. A.B. Brown, Member A.B. Brown, go ahead.
I was not objecting, Mr. Chair. I was not objecting.
Oh, you were not? Okay. So one objection, one. Okay.
Okay.
You're for it.
So if Tony is suggesting that we amend the controversial part of that report, I would support that. Otherwise, I would say we need to withhold it because it's pretty biased and I don't feel it accurately represents the discussion and decisions made during that meeting. And more importantly, I think it could jeopardize the station and the network's legal standing, should there ever be a chance or an opportunity for someone to bring suit against us. And the executive director has already told us that this particular individual involved in that must have two attorneys present whenever there's a conversation. So I think it would be important that we either withhold that or take that part out. Since it was not voted on by the committee.
Mr. Chair, that phrase about the having two attorneys is really out of order and has nothing to do with the Mass Committee, what we're talking about right now.
I agree. Member A.B. Brown, we strike that. That's unnecessary. But it's out there now. But that's really not to the point of the matter here. So we're just trying to determine whether or not we're going to have the Mass Committee report read out as submitted or not. So I'm guessing
that's my reasoning for wanting to do it. But if that's inappropriate, I strike that. But I still stand by we need to withhold this report or the part that is questionable.
Understood.
Thank you.
Member Pinchback, I see the parliamentarian Tatum. I see Member Gordon and bunch of people pops up. Vanessa and then Mike Hirsch. Ron, go ahead.
Okay. Since I'm putting the motion forward, I am willing to accept the compromise that the language that we're concerned about be dropped from the report, and that in lieu of the controversy, if that occurs, if Tony has already said that he's willing to drop that portion of the report, then that portion of the report will not be included. And we can go ahead and move forward. But that's what I'm saying. I'll drop my objection or my motion if indeed the Mass Committee chooses to accept that compromise.
All right. So before I take another member, and I know Tatum is next, is a compromise that will be that the chair of the MASC committee give an oral report this evening, and then the committee will follow up with a written report to the board after this meeting is adjourned. I'll ask the chair of the MASC committee. Is that fair enough?
Mr. Chair, forgive me, but an oral report, including that information, is not acceptable. I will not accept that. So, if that information is taken out of that report, we can proceed. But but even an oral is just as damaging. So. That's my position.
I agree 100%. And what I'm suggesting is that the chair of that committee give an oral report without the information that is deemed unnecessary, controversial, or upsetting to the other members, and that we can move forward in our agenda, leaving that in its place in the meeting. And I'm asking the chair, Member Leon, if he's willing to do that. If he's not, then we'll keep it going here.
Yes, I'm willing to do that. If we can find out, if we get a deadline for when the committee will put their that portion of the report, we'll have that ready and be willing to submit it.
Mr. Okay. Chair, I would say yeah. at our next regularly scheduled MASC meeting, MASC committee meeting, we can correct these issues. Which is what, next Monday?
All right, so the committee.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right, so the committee is comfortable with that brokered decision. I will take Mr. Tatum.
Good evening, Mr. Chair. And everyone else, this is John Tatum. I wanted to help to get the meeting back on track. There is a motion on the floor, and you're either in favor of the motion or you are against the motion, and you will have to vote. A majority would cause the motion, the report to be taken off the agenda. However, if the majority doesn't get the number of votes necessary to leave it off the agenda, then it will stay on. So basically, I'm saying it comes down to a vote. Now, to the issue of whether an oral report or a written report is at issue too, because on the agenda, I believe it's going to be an oral report, which means that it is up to the reporting person to report the information and leave certain things out that people don't want read and report. However, if the chair or the reporting officer reports that information, someone could call a point of order and have that particular part of the report not revealed. So in summary, we now need to take a vote on whether to give the leave the report on the agenda or take it off. That's what the next item should be, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum. I'll finish the stack here, and then we'll take that vote. I recognize Robert Gordon, Vanessa, Wanda. Mr. Gordon.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'll be real quick. The committee didn't approve the report, period. And I think Tony kind of wraps it up with what he said when he indicated that you know, the report expressed his view. So that means it didn't express the committee's view unless the committee agrees with Tony's expressions. But really, I just want to emphasize that I think there's, let's call it information in the report that could be damaging to the station. And as much as anything, whether one agrees with it or doesn't agree with it, that's the reason I would say it should not be read. There are portions of it that could be read. And I hear the, you know, the back and forth between Ron and Tony in terms of trying to resolve it. But I'm not sure that we're all on the same page as to what should be read and what shouldn't be read. That sounds good in theory, but, you know, I don't think it's a good idea to allow it to be read when, you know, there are clearly portions of it that the committee doesn't agree with, number one, and number two, that, you know, the act of reading it before someone jumps in and says, hold it, you know, could be very, very detrimental to the station. And I say that as an attorney who's been practicing for about 40 years now. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Robert. Vanessa, and then we'll end it with Wanda. Vanessa.
I mean, I just wanted to, I am not an attorney who's not been practicing for any time, but I just wanted to agree with Robert's statement in terms of the importance of the information in the report that was a personal opinion rather than a committee perspective, which could be a legal liability, which goes to the point that Verna made, she mentioned no names, about just what a legal liability, how much of a legal liability it could be because of the circumstance that Verna referenced. I'm just trying not to say it again, but she named no names and made, I think, a legitimate point in terms of just how damaging it could be if that information was read.
Thank you. Wanda.
Thank you. Thank you, Kamal. I just wanted to say that the report has been disseminated to the LSB, and I, for one, have read it, and I'm not quite sure how information that has already been consumed can be retracted. But, I mean, I guess the members of the committee have a reason for wanting to retracted, but I just wanted to mention that the information has already been consumed and questions have been raised, at least in my mind. And hopefully we can come up with a way to have people be able to review something and object to its being disseminated in the future if there are objections. Thank you.
Thank you, Wanda. All right. The motion on the floor is for the MASC committee report as identified in our agenda as item number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Item number 7 be removed from the agenda. I will ask, are there any objections to removing or any objections to that particular motion? I'm not taking a stack. So if your hand is up, if you could kindly put it down, unless you are objecting to the motion that's on the floor.
This is Minerva. I'm objecting.
All right. Ellen, we need to call the roll. Again, the motion on the floor is to remove the MASC committee report from the agenda. A vote for that motion will remove that piece or that part of the agenda. A no vote is to for that report to remain in the agenda. Go ahead, Ellen, and call the roll.
Vanessa, yes or no?
Yes, remove the report.
Yes. Okay. Avery. I mean, Verna, I'm sorry.
Okay. It's still me. Yes.
Verna Avery Brown.
Yes.
Yes or no? Okay. Okay. Wayne is not here. Michael Byfield.
Can you hear me?
Michael Byfield.
Can you hear me?
No, I didn't. Now no. I can hear you. Yes. Is it yes or no?
It's a no vote.
Thank you. Bill Curtis.
Could Bill you Curtis. Do, I had to go off and, yeah, I had to go off and come back on. I had an awful connection. What does yes mean? What does no mean? Could you?
The motion on the floor. Yeah, I got you. The motion on the floor is to remove the mask committee report from the agenda. A vote for yes is to remove that report from the agenda. A vote of no, that report will remain in the agenda.
I would say no. I'd love to hear the report.
Okay.
No.
Violetta.
Go ahead, Ellen.
Okay. Violetta. Did she come
I
in yet?
I did not see her. She did not come in. No.
Okay. Thank you. Wanda.
Yes.
Sue Goodwin. Sue. Sue was there.
Sue? She was.
Is
yep,
she there now?
Here.
Yeah,
she's on,
I'm
she's
here.
On mute.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes or no?
I feel like I don't know enough, and I wasn't able to attend the meeting. I'm going to explain.
Well, it's not really, I'm sorry, but it's not really predicated on the meeting. It's just a motion to either have the mask committee report remain in the agenda or to take it out. A yes vote will have it taken out of the agenda. A no vote will have that portion remain.
Okay, I'll vote yes.
Okay.
Robert?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. I hear you. Arthur Hyland?
Yeah, I read it. Yes. I vote yes.
Andrew Craig? Andrew?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ambrose hasn't come in. Or do you see him or?
No.
Isn't it? Okay. Patrick isn't here. Tony, Leon.
Tony votes no.
Mariah isn't here. Ron Pinchback.
Yeah.
Ron Pinchback. You're muted.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I heard you now.
Okay, thank you.
Minerva?
No.
Adele?
Yes.
Did she arrive? Oh,
yes.
She's there.
She's here.
Yes? Okay.
She's here.
Dennis is not here. Michael Hirst? Hirsch?
I vote to keep the note against the motion to keep the on the agenda with the understanding that the controversial part will be left out.
Okay. So you're saying no or you're saying yes?
I'm voting no to, and I want to keep it in the agenda, yeah.
All right. So I'll count it and then we'll get Kamau's vote. So the yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes. The noes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 noes. Let me just make sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 yeses, 5 noes, 1, 2, 3, 5. Okay, and Kamau, what do you vote?
Yeah, I'll vote yes.
Yes. So it's 10 yeses and 5 noes.
Everybody?
Okay, so.
All right, so we'll.
Yes. It's,
go ahead and read it out, Ellen. You just finish it up.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that the yeses are 10, so that the motion would go through. And there were only 5 noes.
All right. Very well. All right. So we'll strike the mass committee report from the agenda for tonight, knowing that that committee will get back together and produce a report for the LSB that they all deem acceptable. So with that, is there any other objections to the agenda that was read? If not, I'll ask about the minutes. Are there any objections to the minutes as distributed by the secretary?
Then I just make, there's one correction in the roll call. I had Michael Hirsch's name twice and I corrected that.
Thank you. Any objection to the minutes that were distributed to you all? Hearing none, we'll accept those minutes as distributed. All right, program director report is Katia Pitt here. Be present.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes.
I thought that I saw an email and it says that there's an illness, recovery from an illness, but the report is submitted.
Okay. All right.
And it was sent to everybody. So
I must have missed that. Yeah, I must have missed that. Sorry about that. I see Miyuki, your hand. Go ahead.
Yes, I have both. Thank you, both the program director and membership coordinator are sick. I have both the reports. Do you want me to read them, or they were submitted to you, I believe. I'm not sure what you want to do.
Yeah, go ahead and you can do it in summary. If you want to read it in full, it's up to you.
Okay.
I don't know how long it is. I did not see it. But
they're both about 2 pages. How are we on time?
Okay. Program director.
Program director, finalizing WPFW Pacifica compliance. Trainings continued into the second week of October. All programmers and LSB members Bill Curtis and Irene Jefferson have completed training. Third quarter report has been filed. The FCC requires public radio stations to file reports once a quarter that highlights issues covered during the previous quarter, and it was submitted. New programs, Dissecting Racial Capitalism, hosted by John Jeter and Denise Young, Thursday from 2 to 3. Former WPFW host John Jeter returns to us with a new program focused on the intersection of economics, both macro and micro, local and global, and social justice impacts the masses, especially those most vulnerable. Scheduled to begin Thursday, October 17th at 2 p.m., and start date was delayed a week due to the death of Denise's grandmother. From the Browder File, hosted by Anthony Browder, Wednesdays from 5 to 6, renowned commitologist Tony Browder presents a new program in the spirit of some of WPFW's legendary programmers, Lauren Preslove, Ambrose Lane, Hodari Ali, Vince Godwin, and Kojo Ohunio, featuring the interviews with local, national, international historians, scholars, artists, and thought leaders, many who are personal friends and colleagues. It will also include cultural critiques on music, film, historical, and current events, as well as archived lectures with historians presented between 1987 and 1992. This material will be edited and curated to offer a contemporary analysis of historical events. Tony Browder replaces Nikichi Taifa, who will be stepping away at the end of October due to professional commitments. Weekly jazz and social calendar update. WPFW's jazz calendar will be produced in partnership with Capital Bop. The jazz listings will be live on the Capital Bop site with a link to WPFW in order to garner some of their followers. Our social justice calendar returns thanks to a grant from Diverse City Fund to provide funding. Netflix, Freeman has trained Consuela Watts, a Howard University senior, interning to produce the calendar through May 2025, after which time another intern will take it on. Both calendar producers are asked the start date could be pushed to the beginning of November. In case you missed it, launches our new initiative conceived and spearheaded by our small but mighty news department. Sue Goodwin and Chris Banger Grounds launched on Friday, October 4th. Many of you might have received it in your inbox on that day. Again, this is a weekly newsletter and eventually radio promo and social media posts. Featuring a listing of public affairs programming from the previous week, the goal of this new project is to serve our existing audience with expanded and on-demand listing options, as well as amplify awareness of WPFW's news and public affairs among a wider audience of potentially new listeners. Co-fundraising for WPFW and Friends of the Congo, Sunday, October 20th, 5 to 8. Patia is producing a joint fundraiser with Maurice Carney, Ed Friends of the Congo, and Ayana Gregory. Friends of the Congo and WPFW invite you to Love Sound, an evening of soul sisters and performance, supporting the work of both the Friends of the Congo and WPFW on Sunday, October 20th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Westminster Church, 400 I Street Southwest. The evening features performances by musicians and poets, including Free Benjamin, Wena Ana Emualago, Ayana Gregory, Congolese artist Deja Bell, Navasha Daya, Laina Mataka, Mama Muna Youssef, and Sweet Honey in the Rock. Tickets are $50, including post-performance sister reception that can be secured at Eventbrite or at Blue Nile on Georgia Avenue. All proceeds benefits Friends of the Congo, DRC Women, Peace and Security Center in Kinshasa, and WPFW. Upcoming special programming, October 14th, Unpacking Indigenous, we are kicking our fall drive off by Indigenous Peoples Day. Amid unpredictable change globally, Indigenous people are frequently referred to as prime examples of resilience and resistance, charting our course for a new way of being decolonized, anti-imperialistic, and communal. On Monday, October 14th, Indigenous Peoples Day, 9 a.m. until 7 p.m., WPFW ponders what it means to be Indigenous and celebrates Indigenous cultures and Indigenous cultures around the world. Participants' topics include John Cain, Resistant Radio, Bushmeat Radio with Thomas Stanley, the Landback soundtrack with DJ Lance Reynolds, and thanks to both Jacqueline Lukman and Garland Nixon for agreeing to be pitch partners on that day. That is the launch of our drive day. To be announced, there's going to be a one-year anniversary of Gaza, and there'll be special programming with that. November 5th.
Still there? All right. While she's frozen, any questions? I'll take a stack, and maybe when she comes back, there would be some questions. Any questions on the report that's been read so far? You all have it, so please feel free to send some questions in if you have them.
Okay.
Let's move to, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, from Sataria, the pledge drive begins October 14th, continues through November 3rd with special Indigenous Peoples programming. The goal for the drive is $300,000. Goals have been distributed. As always, I encourage you to contact Vinny and sign up for pledge drive volunteer hours. If you'd like to volunteer for the drive but do not feel comfortable answering phones, please sign up with your available times and let Vinny know. After a lot of help with volunteers, Tari was able to get the inventory room and the office much cleaner. It also allowed us to locate nearly 100 individual thank you gifts and send them out. Some of the volunteers to help were Camille, Art, Grace, Esther, Tom, and new volunteer Anjali. This is the same project also included to the contrary space. Satari is working to rectify the thank you gift situation, but happy to say it's gotten a lot better, and hopefully we will be current very soon. Hopefully you have noticed the e-blasts were ramped up during the promotion of our paid events, as well as special on-air programming. As I mentioned last month, our list has expanded by approximately 2,000 people. We have seen an increase in interaction with e-blasts. By this, I mean the number of clicks on various links included. This may not be completely due to new people. The reggae event was a success and well attended. We're still tallying up the money received. I do apologize for not being present due to COVID. I thank all those who stepped in to take up the slack. I'm working on the report detailing CARS donation for the previous fiscal year. This takes a little longer than expected due to some site issues that they are experiencing. I've been in contact with CARS, and they're going to fix the issue, and hopefully we should have some news today. And finally, there's an event on October 20th, Love Sound, an evening of Soul Sisters and performance, which I already mentioned from Katia's report. What's your question? Go ahead.
Hold on. Let's pause right there. I'll take a stack. Remember Byfield, okay. Pinchback, and Nauwoo in that order. Mr. Byfield.
Good evening. First, I want to commend all the hard work, starting with the IGM. For the last fund drive. And, and more importantly, going forward, what you guys are trying to do. Last meeting, I asked a question, and it had to do, having to do with programming. And the question is usually the same. Since the program director does not attend program committee meetings, and I know that our last meeting, we didn't have a report. I actually was hospitalized, so I was not at the program committee meeting. So I may be speaking out of ignorance. Program committee chair, if I am, please excuse me and forgive me. But I want to note for the record that the last meeting, the last fundraiser, we had 7 new programs brought on, which were very unsuccessful. Some of those programs were very good programs. I've listened to them since, and I love a few of them. I think they're excellent addition to our program. However, in my mind, as a democratic thinking person, I certainly am not happy or comfortable with one individual making a decision for an entire community. I've also attended a CAB meeting with the very same complaint. So I want to state for the record so that this is in the next minute. I know the PD is not here, which is a common thing, but I'm going to continue to raise that issue. Are we comfortable with one person deciding all the issues of programming? Thank you very much.
Ron, no, we can't. Mr. Pinchback.
All right. Thank you very much. Miyuki, my question is this. In the program director's report, there was no mention of the upcoming election. Is there any initiatives, that we're going to be engaged in regarding the election?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I read it too fast. I did say election day on November 5th and 6th, WPFW and WBAI will lead the production of WPFW's national election night coverage airing on November 5th, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. The effort will include contributions from KPFK, KPFT, and the affiliates programming. On November 6th, 8 to 10, WPFW will also carry Democracy's Now 2-hour post-election coverage.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And one more question. The illnesses that are currently, you know, affecting our staff, is this something that's being spread around in the building? Is this something we need to be concerned about?
No.
Thank you, Miyuki.
You're welcome.
Wanda, then Vanessa, then Minerva. Wanda, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just curious. I know there's a joint fundraiser for the Friends of the Congo and WPFW. So I was just wondering, when there are joint fundraisers, how the proceeds are distributed. I know that they go to both groups, but in general, is there an understood way of dividing the proceeds? That's my first question. And my comment is, I didn't hear it mentioned when Miyuki was reading the program director's report, but I think she left off of her list of duties the fact that she curates the Morning Brew program Wednesday mornings. And I think she does an excellent job with that. And I think that all of that hard work should be recognized. Thank you.
Thank you, Wanda. The money is usually when we have a co-production of an effort or something, we decide beforehand what the breakdown is going to be. For example, I know that when we did an event with the same group actually last year, I think it was 60-40. We got 60, they got 40. This time they're taking the lead, so maybe switched around. I don't know the particulars, but I could try to find out what the breakdown is for you. I can send it to Dennis or Kamau later.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Vanessa, then Minerva. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay, so I just wanted to, for the record, and hopefully this will be in the minutes, because another member has requested to make a comment about the usual attack against the PD by the same usual suspects. First, starting with the allegation that she is usually absent from LSP meetings. If she is, it's for cause, illness, pitching, fund drives, some other legitimate purpose for which she lets us know what's going on. In terms of one person, the PD, the professional with 19 years of experience making decisions about programming at this station, quote unquote, for the community, I am completely comfortable with that because we have the highest rating in the network. Not only is it the highest, it's greater than the other four stations combined. It's greater than that. So I am immensely comfortable with one very qualified person with 19 years of experience making decisions about programming. It's also consistent with the bylaws, which has no language which stipulates that the PD is required to make co-decisions with anyone. If anybody, it's going to be the PD's boss, the GM, that decisions would go through that process. So I would, you know, since the request is being made for, you know, a particular point of view to be in the minutes, I'd like for this point of view to be in the minutes. I feel like I can back up my point of view with data in terms of the rating of the station, who's responsible for that in terms of picking the programming. And really disappointed that the CAB has become involved in this campaign against the PD. It's been infiltrated by the same couple of members previously on the programming committee who made it their monthly mission to engage in a disinformation campaign. So for the record, my opinion is that we have excellent programming and I applaud the PD for her great work.
Thank you, Vanessa.
All right. Thank you. Now, just so we all are on the same page, the secretary is producing the minutes. The minutes are sent to every member. If there's something in there or not in there, please let the secretary know. and we will make the necessary adjustments. All right. So both Member Byfield, Dixon Briggs, we got you on the minutes. We'll take care of it. But if you need something corrected, the minutes are available to us. They can be updated. All right. Member Sanders and then Mr. Tatum.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. M. Yuki, regarding this report, and I think I've asked this before. Well, no, I'm going to ask it here the first time. Why is it during fund drives we do a partnership with other nonprofits when we are trying to keep our station afloat? I can see doing a fund drive with another nonprofit, but why is it always during our fund drive to raise money for the station?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were finished.
And please, I keep hearing the data about our ratings, and definitely I've been told, even on the PMB, that our station has the highest ratings among all the others, but we have not been able to get this rating information from, I've forgotten who it is now, but I know that it is a prominent group that does this. When is the last time that we've been able to get information that says that what our rating is? Because I keep hearing that we have 8% of whatever, and my thing is 8% is good for 1 year, but each year we should be growing. So, you know, what is being done to move us past 8? And when is the last time this rating information was provided? So, you know, that's my question. I'll stop with those two. Thank you.
Thank you, Minerva. Projects like this with the Friends of the Congo are one of the things that hopefully will expand our audience. Doing a fundraiser with another nonprofit who are dealing with issues that are in line with our mission and as important as how the women are being treated or being mistreated in the Congo will hopefully expand the reach of people who know us by the work that we do. It's happening during the drive because that's just how the timing came out. It wasn't planned, to do during the drive. I think that was more an effort. And I think it's I beg your pardon for not knowing the exact details why that date was chosen. I think also with the artists had to do with the artist date being able to do it that day. It's during the fund drive. It's not going to be offered as a thank you gift. It'll be something that'll be driven. It shouldn't have an effect on the drive is all I'm trying to say in terms of that. You're talking about the Nielsen ratings.
Thank you.
I believe the last time we received Nielsen ratings maybe a year or two ago. And the only reason we received those is because Mo had a friend who got the Nielsen ratings. We haven't paid Nielsen for, I want to almost say a decade. I don't know exactly. I know it's been a long time. So we haven't been able to get those, that information directly. However, because Mo knew somebody, he was able to get him. I just asked him last week whether he could contact his friend again just to see where we are. And he didn't respond, so I guess not. Having 8% share, 0.8% share in a market as intense and as competitive as Washington, D.C.'s market is really phenomenal. We are a small, we're the train that could. We're the people pushing up the hill. We are member supported. 1 hour by day, every day, we're in there and we're fighting the good fight. And we are the people who we are. We're not trying to get the lowest common denominator, folks. We don't have mass appeal, and we still be able to hold on. We're in the top 20 of a very, very, very crowded field. So it's something to be very proud of. Now I agree with you. We should know, but trying to get, I would love it if we garner higher numbers. But even in our heyday with Wash and Knapp and all those people, we didn't get a whole lot higher. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. And even with the last fund drive, we still had something for the Congo. So it almost seems like it's part of the pattern. So please speak with your program director. And, I can see doing this, but let's give them their day. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But that was actually collaborative. The last one came out. I'm sorry, I can't remember Member Sanders specifically, but it's a collaboration with the program director, with and with development. It's not the, and it's nothing that she, you know, she determines on her own. It's like, and trying to get everyone together is not an easy thing. We've got a high voltage amount of people who are performing, and getting all these really high end artists to this one event on one day, coordinating it, and then donating their efforts to this thing is huge. So it's nothing again. It's going to be on a Sunday. Sunday's pretty strong in terms of fundraising. Hopefully it will continue to be so. And it shouldn't take away from anything. It should augment our efforts overall.
All righty. Thank you. Mr. Tatum.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Sure. Go ahead, Mr. Pinchback.
My point of order is this. If Mr. Tatum is going to discuss some parliamentary procedure, that's within his purview. But if he's going to comment on the operations at the station, then it's not. So that's my point of order, that he stick to parliamentary procedures, and that commenting on the operations of the station is as a non-board member, he is not he should not be allowed to do that. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. Mr. Taney, you're withdrawing your hand, I see.
Yeah, but I do have want to still make the comment.
Okay.
Mr. Pinchback is absolutely correct, and I would say that he has never caught me commenting on anything about station procedures and how they do things. I don't think he's ever caught me or accused me of doing that. And I'm a little bit sorry that he is preempting my comments by saying that as a warning. And actually what I was going to say, Mr. Chair, I'm going to say it later, but it was of a parliamentary nature. I was going to remind the board that when you're quoting the bylaws, you got to be careful because it's a double-edged sword. If the bylaws say that you don't have, you are not required to do something, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. And so, I had a reminder when something earlier was said, in your discussion about how the bylaws don't say that somebody has to co-decide something with somebody else. The bylaws don't say that. But the bylaws also don't say that you cannot co-decide something with somebody else. So thank you, Mr. Pinchback. But my comments, as you put it, will always be of a parliamentary nature. And if you ever catch me commenting as a board member, I owe you $5.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you. Any other questions on either the program director or development director reports? If not, we'll go to the interim general manager report. Miyuki Williams.
Thank you. I think both Katia and Sitara are pretty comprehensive. I wanted to first thank all of you. This marks my 6th month as interim general manager, and you all have been very, very supportive. Most of you have done a lot to help raise money for the station. You have done things like come to answer phones and serve as volunteers for various activities that we need. You have worked your buttocks off on various committees to make sure that we can move forward. And I just wanted to thank you very, very, very much. This job was not what I thought it was going to be. And there are a lot of surprises. And the fact that so many of you pour so much, and I mean not only you as board members, but those who are even tuning in now as community, to make a difference, to make WPFW means a lot. And I really appreciate the collaboration. I really appreciate your work. As you know, when I stepped in the job on April 1st, I found out on April 2nd, we only had $2,000 in the bank and that we had an outstanding $19,000 checkout, circulating. Thank goodness, we're not in that position now. We have money because we held a couple extra, drives for the relocation purposes, but we are just about out of debt with everybody. Unless I get surprises all the time. Again, as you know, the bookkeeper's computer was clean, so I wasn't able to, I don't get all the, information that I would have had otherwise in a timely fashion, but we're in pretty strong, position. We do still owe rent, but there's issues with where we are right now. So, there's that. I know you as an LSB, said that you would try to raise $75,000 back in May. You haven't quite got there yet, but you raised, at least $5,000. And I really, really appreciate that very much. Want to send a special thanks to Marsha Peterson and Sabu and Violetta and all those who were involved with the 5K. Sabu pointed out to me, I was misinformed saying that it wasn't a moneymaker, but it actually made over $4,000 for WPFW. And I know those of you who participate in the popcorn event raised some money. So it broke over $5,000, which I'm very, very grateful for the station. Thank you very, very much. I mean, every dollar counts, every penny counts, and trying to put it to good use to make make WPFW stronger and more viable, and that we continue doing the good work that we're doing one broadcast at a time for the next generation. So I wanted to thank you all very much for that. And so, we still have some things that we need to do. I don't know how much longer I will be here, but again, I appreciate the effort. And there's no, despite even if we disagree or have issues, there's no doubt in my mind that each of us in our own way love what WPFW is and what it stands for and what it can be. And so I really, really appreciate everything. You know, when you all even, you know, sometimes we don't see eye to eye. I appreciate your effort in making WPFW better because that's what makes it so unique, so special, and such a treasure here in the nation's capital. And I want to thank all of you for doing that. I want to also ask if I can have Mr. Chair, what do you call it when it's a private, just the LSB members?
You want a closed session?
Next month I'd like to try to do a closed session to just share some more details and information. If possible, please.
I'll mention it to the chair. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Any questions for the interim general manager, Miyuki Williams? Any questions? I see one hand. Vanessa, is that a legacy hand?
Yes. It is legacy. Sorry.
Okay. Member Sanders, Member Byfield, Member Leon, in that order. Member Sanders, you're recognized.
Yes, Miyuki. Let me say that, yes, it has been a joy working with you on the things that, again, you're right. The focus is the station. It's not about the person. And I thank you for understanding that. And even when we agree to disagree, adhering to suggestions or different things that are made or giving other ways to get something done. So that's greatly appreciated. Definitely I'm not trying to run anything here at the station, but again, it's almost like tunnel vision. When you see WPFW needs something or Pacifica, you're thinking about what can be done to make it happen. But thank you for the job you've done. And definitely since we don't have major outstanding, that you know, cross my fingers, and we'll be able to move forward as a station. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you. Member Byfield.
Yes, I really want to commend your efforts from day one. And I've never, not recognized that. That is, and most of the people who really, put in time, but, especially you, I respect that always and certainly commend you for that.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Member Leon.
Yes, thank you, Miyuki, for your hard work. I just have a question about the statement about just about out of debt. Does that include the outstanding debt that we had?
You mean to Central Services?
Well, collectively, there were several outstanding.
Yeah, no, the Central Services, the big debt we haven't been able to touch. I'm talking about the everyday monthly debt. I came in, we owed, Pepco over 20,000. We owed back, rent for like 19,000 to the transmitter. Mm-hmm. We still owe, as I said, rent. And we owe those bigger things like, Central Services. They've forgiven right now medical for some reason. I'm not sure why, or at least I haven't received a bill for medical. Again, I get surprises and all of a sudden we have to pay something. But there were some personnel things that I had to take care of and those are almost all done. And you know, part of it has to do with the fact that we have so much less personnel. So that's again, my continued request to you all for volunteers. That's real. So for those of you who stepped up and helped, it's helped immeasurably. So thank you very much. But, we don't have a bookkeeper. We don't have two engineers and the very, very, you know, staff of 10 people and, you know, eight people, four people do the news. The rest of that two people are engineers. Three people are engineers and the rest of the people do all the detail work of what it takes to run the station. And there's lots of I's to dot, lots of T's to cross and we don't always get to them all and they slip through. But you know, I mentioned all the people who help with things like thank you gifts. That's huge. That's huge. And I know that, you know, Minerva King with her grandsons and other people just, you know, just putting addresses on, stamps on things. Those, every little bit counts. Every time you come to answer the phones, it's huge. Our phone bills for Telerep used to be $9,000-$10,000. The last one we did was $3,000-something, and I was able to pay them right away. So we didn't go before. It was like before the drive. We have to pay Telerep or we won't have anyone to answer the phones. We were pay them right away, and I know we start the drive this Monday clean and ready to go, you know, trying to make more money. And because it's a holiday, we don't know how many volunteers we're going to have, but it's going to be okay because we have the Telerep in place. So please don't think your efforts don't count. I mean, you know, authors, you know, doing this thing with planned giving for us. We never had people, you know, do planned giving. We had to get bequests. Other members of the programmers have stepped up and done amazing things. Craig has started the Jazz and Justice Circle, and I'm meeting all these people who really love the station and give thousands of dollars on a continuous basis. Robin has done a phenomenal job with the events, making sure that they turn over funds and everything. I mean, everyone, like I said, I didn't even realize that the 5K had done so well until I talked to Sapu and got the report. And in part, that had to do with Sataria being, you know, having COVID and stuff, but it's all coming in. It's all going toward we're starting to row together in the same direction. Everyone understands the most important thing is WPFW, the survival, the future for what the work that we do to be, you know, be available for the world. And we can only do it together. I mean, we had a cyber attack and that was incredible. And today I met with engineers and met with, Comcast, who were listeners, who's a supporting listener, who said, look, I heard you had a cyber attack. Come on, we can help you. And anyway, so I'm just saying everybody's coming out from wherever they are to focus on the main thing. And that's WPFW. And let's make sure that it's here because it's a valuable, valuable resource for community, for society, for our culture, the maintaining of our culture. We are the reservoir. We are the depository for all this great information. We have had incredible programmers and guests who come through our air. And we are teaching, we are educating, we are raising a nation. And so I really, really appreciate, and I know, you know, again, there are times we don't always agree and stuff, but I know that the main thing in everybody's mind is to make WPFW better. And I really believe that.
So, Miyuki, right. If I can just wrap up one more thing, Mr. Chair.
Yep, go ahead, please. Yep.
Please, in your focus, you know, in moving the station forward, please, please consider station promotions because I'm still going places. I'm asking people, have they heard of the station? And they're telling me no. They're telling me no. Some kind, the station needs a promotions team to hit the streets some kind of way. at least with flyers. I was at the 8th Street Festival 2 weekends ago. There were thousands of people there, and that was an opportunity to pass out flyers. I know maybe a table might have been, not in the, an affordability range, but somebody, a promotions team there with flyers could have got rid of them, at least 1,000 flyers right there that day. Could have had some new listeners, at least 10% of those 1,000 could have been new listeners and new members. So just saying, promote. Word of mouth ain't working, sister. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. And I appreciate and I agree with what you said. But again, when someone says something like that to me, then I said, I need your help then. Craig Williams is heading the festivals group. Tell them that you'd be willing to work on whatever festivals and things that we got coming up. I was there at 8th Street too. I was bemoaning the fact that we didn't have a table. I have now got a contact, the guy who runs the thing. I found someone who knows them. And so next year, hopefully we won't be MIA. But the thing is, we're talking about, again, a staff of 8 people. Again, 4 do news, 3 have to do the, so you've got Vinny, Sataria, Katia, and myself, who could go out and possibly man those things. So that's why we need help. We need a lot of help. And Craig not only does major donors, he's doing the festival things. That's why we were at the DC Jazz Fest. We're going to be at the Home Rule Festival coming up. Other things, if you have those, if you see those things are coming up, usually that those things take some planning. We have to, and then those things, by the way, Craig not only, is organizing that, he's the one who's buying, he designed and developed a whole new tablecloth. So that, cause there was another event going at the same time, just for the DC Jazz Fest. He makes the flyers and the cards and he pays it out of his own pocket to help. So anytime someone brings a great suggestion like you do, Tony, I ask you to please, appreciate the suggestion. You're spot on, but I need your elbow grease. And I know you do committees and you do other stuff for PFW already, but if you can't do it, maybe, you could suggest, or even if you'd said something about it before, you while you were having fun at the 8th Street Festival, you could have been throwing flyers at people. So, and those things cost money. So it's always chicken egg. How much money can we afford to spend on those things? And then how much are we going to get from it? Right now, the biggest bang for the buck is social networking. I'm learning from the younger people that, it's not about a piece of paper or a flyer. It's about, it's about Instagram. It's about Twitter. It's about doing those things. So we're trying to do those things as well, because those will also get us the younger people, because we need to infuse our pond of people who are getting older. I think our average listener is 70-some years old, which is why we're starting to get bequests. But we in order to include those younger people, we need to have things like social networking, leveraging that. So if anyone's an expert in that, we'd love to have your help.
All right. Thank you so much. It is now 7:49, so I'm going to quickly read the Finance Committee report. From that, we may take a stack, get into our community comment, take that through until 8:35, and then come back and go through questions on the Finance Committee report. Is that fair enough? Any objection to that order of things? All right, hearing none, I'll go ahead with this. The WPFW Finance Committee met on the 7th of October via Zoom at 7:30 p.m. Myself, as treasurer, as the chair of the committee, members of that committee are Sabu Hakeem, Tony Leon, Eileen Rosin, Julie Hewitt. During the meeting, we discussed the following, and I will read off the details for you all in terms of the finances. We came into the month of September with a balance of $123,320.65. During the month, the organization, the station spent $131,794.66. It did take in during the month $57,794.59.
That is a net change of a $74,000 reduction in our cash balance in the Truist account. Details on these expenditures for the month. A total of $68,340 was spent on payroll and other compensation matters. The WAMU tower rent was paid $6,233. The electricity at the tower, $24,748. There was compensation to some past engineers at $3,000. There was office rent at $16,884. There was a Verizon bill paid, $2,947. Before K-Walk, there was some compensation paid out for that, amounting to $850. ARC Telecommunications, $1,452. Bank fees, $4,544. There was a payment on the BMI expenses during the month, $2,000. And the Zoom, YouTube, and some other cell phone activities all totaled $130. So again, the total amount spent in the month, $131,795. The money that was received in the month from contributions from listeners, $57,042. And the LSB, fundraiser, popcorn fundraiser, took in $752 in the month. The current balance as of today, $46,743. And I'll pause there for a stack. Anyone who'd like to ask a question, I'll take your name down and then we'll come back. We got a little bit of time. Any questions on the finance report? We'll just go from there. Any questions? All right. Well, the other piece of the finance committee work was the budget. So as you all know, we are currently in the fiscal 25 budget period that began on October 1st and goes through 9/30/2025. As it exists right now, there's a draft budget that is still in review with the finance committee. We did not have the quorum in attendance on Monday to push that or to take it to a vote. To push that forward through to this board for your review. So we expect to have an interim meeting between now and the November board meeting where we'll have a vote in that committee on the draft budget and then allow this LSB to then vote on that budget in the November meeting. So more to come there. I did ask folks that would like to submit a portion of their particular scope, whether it's development, whether it's programming, the different areas of the board's scope. If they have a particular budget that they'd like to submit for fiscal 25, to go ahead and submit that, and that will get incorporated into the fiscal 25 budget. But that's still being worked on, and as soon as that's ready and available, this committee will have it, and you'll be able to vote on it as required under the bylaws. Any questions on finance? Member Avery Brown, go ahead. You have the floor. Verna, going once.
I'm sorry, I was muted, didn't unmute myself. I remember maybe a couple of meetings ago when it was suggested that Pacifica National or would somehow be more involved in our finances. I know the bank accounts were going to be merged Can you perhaps give us an update on where we are with that? Has the situation changed from what was before? Are you all single-handedly, or just is our finances being dealt with locally or nationally?
I think you might be going back to when there was a transition and we lost the financial manager or admin assistant for the station. There was a notion that the P&O, the national office, would be kind of assisting in the day-to-day in cultivating, bills, checks, things like that. That's not really something they can do or have the bandwidth to do. So locally, a lot of that's still being maintained, most of it. There is a separate bank account of which the station transfers. When you heard me talk about payroll, there's an account in which the money that needs to fund the payroll transfers twice a month, that money goes into every 15 days, first and the 15th. But beyond that, the financial management day to day is still handled by station management.
Okay. Thank you. I want clarity on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not a problem. Anything else on finances? If not, we can start early on our community comment. All right, hearing, yes, Mr. Ramey, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, are you starting community comment? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I said there wasn't any other comment on the finance report that I would like to start the community comment.
Okay, thank
early,
you.
Early, if that's okay. Yep. And Mr. Ramey has the floor, followed by Hakeem and then Martha Peterson. So you have it, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of this board have a right to disagree with others who may either be in a majority or in a minority. These disagreements do not represent a breach of federal law. And as such, these individuals cannot be dragged in front of a grand jury. As such, it's inappropriate for anyone on this board to refer to or characterize members in these proceedings who disagree as suspects. And I would hope the chair will make that abundantly and quite clear. A second point by one of your colleagues alleges the role of the program director as being autonomous and not subject to review of any type. They also suggest decisions made by the PD need not be made jointly. This is completely incorrect. If at any time this board or any of its committees decides a process must be in place for bilateral cooperation by this board or its committees, Pacifica bylaws dictate that PD must respond in a collaborative manner. The legal community in most federal domains and jurisdictions interprets collaboration to be a form of compliance or at the very least cooperation. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to address the board.
Thank you very much. Abu.
Yes, good evening, everybody. A couple of things.
Good evening.
Yes, Ms. Williams did bring up the 5K, and I understand that Zataria is ill, but that was turned in before Marty went to Tanzania, so right after the 5K. So they had that information stuff about a week. I don't know what happened between now and then, but I don't believe she could be. But I don't believe she's been sick the whole month. Secondly, as far as the cab, I understand a comment was made about being infected by or infested or something against the PD and members, that's not true. I don't know where that came from. In fact, I guess four of the six members are new to the board and to the activity of the stations. So I'm not quite sure where that came from. That was the case. The 5K did, and we're sort of, we might have made more money. We're not quite sure yet, but we need to get a clarification on that when we get a chance. That's about it for me. Thank you.
Yes, I do see where the Outreach Committee has submitted a report for tonight, and I'm guessing that the chair of that committee will detail the 5K activity. So you'll have that shortly. Martha Peterson, you have the floor.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I am very concerned about a statement that one of the LSB members said about the CAB. And was Vanessa, she implied that there are certain members on the CAB who are berating Katia. And the CAB works very hard trying to fulfill its responsibilities. So I'm very concerned about the statement that Vanessa made. And I think she really needs to apologize, because quite a few of the CAB members are attending this meeting this evening. That's my comment.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I recognize Marcia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In fact, I would like to have the person who made the allegations tell us who those people are, because one of the things that I, as a CAB member, along with my the other CAB members have been very pleased with, is the way that we have been able to work together cooperatively to solve whatever differences we might have civilly. And we've done, I believe, and this is not to pat ourselves on the back, a yeoman's job, given that we have six members, three of them I see on this call now. And I would respectfully suggest to the person who made that comment to tread light, because statements that are made like that, that are unfounded, will be taken very seriously, especially by those of us who rely upon our reputations for our livelihood. Now, I can't speak for other folks. I can speak for myself. I have made several complaints. They have all been in writing, so that anyone who wants to know what I have said, what concerns I have had over the years, can refer to my emails. I don't mind putting it in writing, because I'm not going to attack a person. In fact, specifically, let me speak to the one who made the allegation. I have said I'm not here for personalities. I'm going to discuss issues. And I think that the CAB has done well to do that. I personally know that I have. I have no hard feelings against anybody, but their records speak for themselves. And anyone who wants to work and be proactive and cooperative, I'm here. But we cannot allow folks to say that we have biases against individuals when we call the individuals' behaviors or failures to act into question, when those behaviors or failures are in keeping with that individual's job description. It's nothing personal. We will stick to the facts. And I would suggest very strongly that the speaker identify the people she says have done so, because I will personally take it into consideration going forward. I will not take it lightly. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other folks from the community who would like to address the board this evening?
Thanks, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I meant to add this. I had to get that part off my chest.
Marcia,
I'd like
go
to
ahead.
Note on a totally different question. It has to do with relocation.
Yes.
I have not heard anything mentioned so far about what our actual budget is, what can actually, what the station can afford to pay. It was kind of glossed over in a couple of the meetings that I attended. In fact, a statement was said that was something to the effect that we could afford whatever we're paying now, but the facts are that we're not really paying now what we are supposed to be paying. So if someone could answer for me, what is the logical budget level based upon our income that the station can afford as we try to relocate, identify potential properties? And how are we going to meet that?
So,
and you don't have to answer now, you know, during community comment time, just in case somebody else has some statements. But I haven't heard anything said about what we can afford and whether we're even looking at properties that are within that price range. And I'd like to have that cleared up just for my own edification. Thank you. I'm finished.
Yep, that is in the budget, the proposed budget. This committee will be able, or this board will be able to review that when it comes out. But that those numbers are there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else from the community? We have yes. Until 8:30 to chit chat.
Can you hear me? Can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, I have somebody. I have the number ending in 065. Go ahead. You have the floor.
That's me. Thank you. This is Star from Washington, D.C., and I just wanted to say that I really support all of the comments that I've heard so far from my fellow community members. And I also wanted to say that I really appreciated the gracious statement by Miyuki in her report. There are several things that I feel need addressing, but I do want to go back to the issue of Katia and her performance. I think that what happens when I think that you can, I actually have high regard for Katia's personality. I think her fundraising skills are very good. I think as a generalist in the political realm, she actually does pretty well. And I think that she's hardworking. I think that possibly she just, oh, and I also want to say that I understand, I know some of the history of when she became the program director. And it was absolutely chaos. And I feel some sympathy, and I've said this to people, for the fact that she tends to kind of run through and not pay attention to other people's opinions, because in the past, it seemed to be far more chaotic. And if you stop to listen to everyone's opinion and the nastiness, you could go down. So I actually am somewhat, you know, sympathetic to some of her practice. And she does have long experience. She knows a ton of people because of her activism. And she has a reason to feel confident in a lot of her judgment. But I think that I've had years of experience. If I were the program director, even in the political realm, because I know how many controversies there are out there, I would want to consult with people. I can't imagine that I would not want to consult with people. And in terms of her not violating bylaws, formally speaking, maybe not, but the bylaws mandate the existence of the program committee. And the issue for several years with Katia has been that she prevents that committee from functioning by not working with it. And the excuses that were reviewed by the LSB member, I mean, we heard them all years ago when I served on the committee for, you know, good 2-3 years. And in those days, it used to be childcare. But the bottom line is, and I want to say this, it's not necessarily a huge credit that the WPFW programming is rated the highest in Pacifica. There are deficits in Pacifica's programming. There's a lot of controversy, and probably the most critical issue, one of the most politically critical issues of the day, having to do with the Middle East. I mean, I've reviewed some of the things that are problematic with one of the flagship programs, which is Democracy Now! And that continues to be a problem. If you heard the interview about peace being the way forward, when we have a genocide going on and the right of resistance has been upheld internationally, and yet this endorsement was given to a position which would be just basically lying down and being slaughtered and dispossessed. But there are a number of very valuable things in the programming that could be done on the Middle East just to educate people to the issues. I wouldn't say get any of the viewpoints off the air, including Amy Goodman, as much as I disagree with a lot of it. It's important for people to understand what the issues are, and I don't think that there's programming that's sufficient to help people really understand those things. I personally have talked to young Jewish activists who, when I have taken a strong position, as I did the other night at a demonstration with a placard, they've come up to me and said how much they agreed with a really strong anti-imperialist position. These aren't party members. You know, they were young. They were old. A lot of people came up and were just so happy to hear the viewpoint that it's a question of imperialism versus, you know, that is using Israel as a hired gun rather than this Jewish-Arab conflict the way it's being posed by a number of people in the movement. Another area that I think programming is very weak on is we have often celebrated the fact that we have the power signal that can reach into West Virginia and some of these outlying rural areas. And yet we are not doing anything. I mean, if we had 1 hour every 2 weeks that would be devoted to some of the issues that the people in those areas have been facing, and the media tends to focus on only white people in those areas. That's how it's known. I get that. But there are people of color. But the white people are suffering and have suffered for decades from opioids, from unemployment that forces a poverty draft. We are doing nothing in terms of welding the issues of class and race. And it's not a question of compromising on race. Not at all. But we aren't doing diddly on that. And it just is so dangerous. Because if you
Okay,
I'm sorry. Well, I could just go on, but I mean, the point is Patia has a lot to be proud of, but she needs to develop some humility. And if she doesn't want to consult with everyone, give it lip service, but consult with someone. And it's not enough for her just to have consulted. It's not the mandate that she's under, or that we're in under as program committee members. The mandate is to work on with that committee, not with just the general manager, as she apparently did in the past. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for your comment and your time. Thank you so much for that. Yep. I have Martha and then Mr. Ramey.
Yeah, once again, I don't like to have to repeat a comment that was made about CAB and certain members of CAB. It was put in the chat that I should ask Michael Byfield who made the accusation. I know who made the accusation. I'm not going to dwell on it long. Vanessa, you are the one who said certain people on CAB are berating Katia. Okay, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the newer lease agreements being proposed or negotiated by the Relocation Committee reportedly is projected to cost between $1 and $1.5 million over the next decade. At the end of this lease, WPFW will have nothing to show for this expenditure except a receipt. $1.5 million is mortgage money, not rent. The WPFW negotiators at the table seem either unable or unwilling to grasp this reality. At the end of the lease, it's back to square one, and a similar leasing agreement at that time will cost probably in the range of $2 million. As the kids in Northeast used to say, we ain't got it like that. The lease being proposed, though well-intended, is thoroughly misguided. It's a short-term solution for a long-term problem which cannot be solved based on current revenue models. This lease is not practical, it's not rational, and certainly not reasonable. It's not feasible, nor is it sustainable based on the revenue that's currently coming in to WPFW. This lease actually creates more problems than it solves. The Finance Committee should be at the forefront making this case against such an agreement, but there may be a conflict there which precludes that from happening. We cannot nor should not be spending any more than $600,000 for rent over the next decade. We need a plan B, and very possibly we need a plan C. It falls in perhaps to the programmers, the other stakeholders, and even individuals at Pacifica to make this case, one broadcast at a time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I see Sabu. Yes, I got it. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah. On the relocation thing, I sent you some information that I received from a listener who is a real estate person, and they sent me properties that we could buy that were, you know, less than $700,000, some in Northeast, some in Southeast, you know, different areas of the city. They were buildings. They had parking lots, stuff. I don't know if you received that or saw that when I sent it to you. But I would think that this go-around is a little short now, but this go-around, that if we could find something that we could buy and put it in a neighborhood that, you know, we could secure it. You know, they got all kind of technology. I understand there were some issues with security for some people who had to come to the station. Understandable. That can be arranged or taken care of, you know. So yeah, if you get a chance, you know, look at those properties that, you know, were sent, and let me know what you think of them.
I did see your email. I have not had a chance to review, but I will respond to you accordingly. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Is that a legacy hand, Eric, or?
It's legacy, yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. Anybody else from the I hear somebody saying.
If I could go again.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, yep.
For point of order.
Sure. Yes. You're interrupting the comic, sir. What's going on?
Point of order.
Okay. Go ahead.
What time did we begin community comment?
5 minutes till 8. Really 3 minutes. We're going to go until 8:30.
That's all I wanted to ask. That's it. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I knew we started early. I just didn't know how early.
Yeah. Not a problem. Somebody, I think it was Star. I recognize the voice. You can go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you. One of the things that I wanted to address, and it does tie in. The one thing that I do think that I do have strong questions about with, I can't quite understand how this developed. And that is, as I understand it, some of the folks that have been, there was conflict with Esther Everin, and it had to do, there was a certain amount of red baiting. I don't know. I think it was a grouping around Katia. I don't know if it was Katia herself, but I am concerned, you know, again, that we need to have a variety of views on political progress from the community. And I think that the station does generally a good idea. I mean, you know, not a bad job of that, you know, in terms of who it has on as guests. There could still be strengthening of some of the views. But I do think that I really can't understand the red baiting, given that, you know, WPFW was, or rather Pacifica, was formed in the cradle of the McCarthy period. It's just very, very dangerous. And Martin Luther King was brought down, you know, or was mercilessly attacked on that basis. Every progressive has been attacked on that basis, because in the final analysis, it's going to be socialism that's going to challenge the capitalist system. And so you could be a communist hater and you're going to be labeled a communist if you're doing effective work. And I think that tying in with my concern about that red baiting, Miyuki commented on having consulted the FBI about this recent hacking thing. She said something in the last LFB meeting, and I think we really need to have an evaluation. I mean, maybe a formal evaluation. It might be instructive for the whole community to be part of it, but certainly the LSB, an evaluation of what the relationship really should be with government agencies, particularly the FBI. I mean, I know many of you, I don't have to review their history in terms of spying on the civil rights movement, on, you know, Black Panthers, on the whole COINTEL program, on activists, and, you know, and their, you know, some of the people that were demonstrating for Black Lives Matter, you know, there was one fellow that was gunned down by, you know, one of their units because he allegedly had shot one of their people or something in the Northwest a few years ago. So it's just extremely dangerous to bring in the police forces of any nature. I mean, because they will distort it. They'll use it as a way of ingratiating themselves, of seeking information. It's just a very, very bad policy, you know, to involve the FBI. But I think that maybe a comprehensive review within the LSB would be in order of what the policy should be. Because if you don't have a real clear understanding of that, then, you know, it's so easy. Our minds are never a vacuum. If we don't have a progressive thought, and a really progressive understanding of how all of the dynamics of society work and how the power structures work, then we don't have a progressive idea. We're going to have a reactionary idea because that is what we have been raised with and conditioned in the school system and what is drummed in to us by the mainstream media, which we still are exposed to, you know, for family and friends, even if we don't directly watch. So it's very, very important to always try to highlight the progressive ideas. You know, none of us is perfect and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Mr. Tatum.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to point out, I don't know, Mr. Chair, if you want to give Mr. Pinchback the bad news, or whether I should give him the bad news. And that is that
Mr. Chair,
that little interruption please, that he made was please, not a point of order.
Please
was not a point of order.
Okay.
There's no need for him to come at me.
Hold on, both y'all, please. Let's not waste the community time. We still have about 5-6 minutes left. Anyone else in the community, please? Anybody else? We're still open for community comment. Going once. Going twice. That looks like we're going to get back a little bit of time. All right. Fair enough. P&B report. We have our delegates here, so I'll give the floor to the vice chair of the PNB, Minerva Sanders, and anyone else who'd like to comment on information from the PNB.
Okay, and Kamau, what I'm going to do as chair is I'll let the other members go first, and then I'll come through with the information I have, okay?
Sounds good. Anybody want to step up, or do I need to call on folk?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Ron, you got it.
No. I would prefer that Minerva go first because she is vice chair of the PNB. So I would prefer that she go first, and we will chime in accordingly.
Let's try this. Does anyone have anything to say? We'll start there.
Chair, this is Vanessa. I don't have anything at this time.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else that represents this board on the PMB have anything to tell us about what's happening at the PMB? Please, somebody step up.
Your gifts helps us all.
There is information concerning the PMB that I think the vice chair should share, including the sale of properties that could affect our relocation efforts.
Okay. Anybody want to share that detail or?
Okay, Mr. Chair.
We're just going to be quiet for 15 minutes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, the information that I have to share was also sent to the board, and this came from the financial committee, NFC financial chair, which is Miss Darlene Pagato. And the information does have some of the things that Ron just mentioned, but the very first thing that I want to say is that the Pacifica ED was able to move forward with the sale of the building in Los Angeles. That sale would take place tomorrow. The close will take place tomorrow. And she did share that some of the funds used from the sale will allow Pacifica to close the lien that the Small Business Administration has placed on the building. So that frees up the building from that lien. And we were trying to work with the SBA. It's been going on for months to try to get them to take that lien and move it to another building, which would have helped in getting the sale closed, but they opted not to do so. But since they found that the building will be sold, then their request or their claim to funds that are owed to the SBA that will be taken care of. And what it will do is limit a little bit of the money we have available to deal with other Pacifica issues, and I don't have the details. I think in the information that the executive director sent out previously to, this was done through Darlene. It's has a lot of information here, but some of these things, they're changing. So this will be revised as to what the remaining funds that will be left after the FJC. That is a group that assisted Pacifica in dealing with the tower issue for WBAI. And so FJC, they have identified an amount that they want from this sale, and I don't have that number. So the Pacifica's moving forward in terms of, just as Miyuki and you stated for the station, looking at past due and trying to catch up in terms of funds that need to be paid out. That's moving forward. Pacifica Radio Archives and the Archive Legacy Digital Program. That's one that was also shared by the executive director. That has been put in place, and working with the Library of Congress and some funds from the Mellon group, and the colleges, and a group of college students in California. They're moving ahead with digitizing the information that Pacifica has stored for years in warehouses and other places, and making this such that these items will be available once everything is taken care of, that when we have fund drives or individuals want to use items to promote at the different stations,
that will have those items that can be requested from the Pacifica Archives and be able to help them become productive again in raising funds for the network. So that's another piece, and they have been able to get college students to come in and help. And then they also did get a grant that is helping them preserve, because we have a lot of items that are damaged that they're trying to take care of. And with the sale of the building, there were some individuals from radio station, I want to say it's KPFK, that were still in the old building. They'll be moving to the new location, and so we're excited about that. They also are planning to do the audit of the books for all the stations, for the archives and the other groups, that the books will be audited for the 2022 and 2023 990s for the state and federal. So that's another area that we're excited about, this that will be coming to fruition and taking place this year. And then the final information is about the elections. We did see it on the WPFW website. And so all of the elections are closed, and all the stations did make quorum by the deadline date of September 30. We were a little concerned at first about WBAI, but I think the very last day they did meet their quorum as well. And everyone has asked the question about WPFWs, and it was shared how we were able to get through this without having to hold the election process. The only thing that's going on right now in that area is there are fair campaign provision violations. So there is a special group that has been put together to go through this information, and the report will be given by the National Election Supervisor, and then it will, the final information will be shared with all the stations. So that's the main information I have from the PNB meetings.
Okay, Mr. Chair. I'd like to add a couple of things.
Yes, Ron.
Number one, unfortunately, there are some details about the sale of this property that we cannot divulge because the PNB met in executive session to discuss those things, and you know, there's still some issues, as they say, that need to be resolved. But unfortunately, like I said, because we met in executive session, we can't share that information with this board unless it's in executive session. The and basically that's, you know, that's unfortunate, but once again, the sale of this property is very, very important to the network. And so the information is embargoed until that deal is completed and consummated. And regarding the elections, PFW didn't have to go through that process because of the number of candidates matched the number of openings. That's it. That's the only reason. If we had had more candidates than openings, then we would have had to hold an election also. But because we had the number of candidates that matched the number of openings, we were able to bypass the election process. We were the only station in the network to be able to do that. Saved us a bunch of money, saved the network a bunch of money. So that's all I'd like to add. Thank you.
Chair.
Okay. Vanessa, go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to comment on what Ron just said in terms of the money that was saved. Excuse me, the money that was saved by not having the election at PFW. I don't know how much money was or was not saved. Some amount was saved. I don't know how much that was, but we were able to do that because this body violated the bylaws by allowing someone to cherry pick which vacancy
they wanted to serve on this board. There were two vacancies. The first would have terminated in December of this year.
Mr. Chair?
By the bylaws.
Point of order.
Hold on.
Point of order.
What's your point of order?
Point of order is we're doing a P&B report, and getting off into what is being shared is not part of this report.
It most certainly is.
Do you have a specific, how direct is this related to the P&B, Vanessa?
It's related to the P&B in terms of my fellow director, Ron, reported on how, about the election and how PFW was able to, not have to go through that process. And I am commenting on how this body was able not to go through that process. And it is because we violated the bylaws by allowing a candidate to cherry pick vacancy they wanted.
Go ahead, Vanessa. Please,
thank you so much. I appreciate that. We allowed a candidate to cherry pick which vacancy they wanted, which is in direct contradiction of what the bylaw says, which is that any vacancy, the first vacancy, shall be filled, not whichever vacancy a person wants to fill. It has nothing to do with the person who was allowed to engage in that violation of the bylaw. Nothing whatsoever. It has everything to do with what the bylaw says. And if there is so much concern about adhering to the bylaws, then we need to adhere to the bylaws. It's not a matter of saving money, especially when the amount of money is undetermined. It's a matter of operating with integrity and abiding by the bylaws.
Fair enough. Thank you so much for that. Anything else from our delegates? If not, I'll take a stack if there's any questions. I see a couple of hands already.
Mr. Chair.
Member Avery Brown's hand was up first, and then I'll take you, Member Sanders,
that's fine.
After that. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a couple of questions. First one is it necessary for us to call for an executive session so we can hear what was discussed in that executive session, since it appears as though maybe it was really important and might be relevant to our relocation efforts? So do we need to call an executive session so that we can hear that information? That's one question. And the other one is, I'm curious about the Pacifica Archives. Was the entire archives, I guess it's being digitized. How is that monetized for us? And is it being sold off, or just a little bit more information about that, please? Thank you.
Anybody from
Mr.
any
Chair,
of our representatives have any detail on that? Yeah, go ahead, Member Sanders.
I have detail. And the detail is that the archived information remains with the Pacifica, but it will be housed with the Library of Congress, and the Mellon group is working to put that together. So it's not been sold or given away. It's still part of Pacifica's information. And they're still working on all the steps on how individuals are going to be able to access it. They're looking at allowing schools to use it, universities to use it, so on and so forth. But that information still stays with Pacifica.
So in other words, once it's digitized, then there will be ways to monetize it to other groups. Is that the process?
Yes.
It's being put together by the ED along with the archive staff, and she has a group she's working with on that. They have not given the full details, but it will be coming out, and it will be shared with all the stations.
Okay. And again, whether we need to go into the executive session.
Okay.
Yeah. I hear your question, but that's we'll handle that in a different way. It's not up to me. This is a, you know, community body, and so if there's a motion to do that, then we'll address that. I didn't hear a motion in your question. I'll go to Member Sanders. I see Mr. Tatum, and then Member Byfield.
Mr. Chair,
okay.
Forgive me.
Yep.
But regarding Verna's question, regarding Verna's question about whether we have to go into executive session, the answer to that would be yes. But the other part of that question is this. They are still negotiating. So the information that we have is not the, you know, that was discussed in executive session at the PNB level, determined that, you know, negotiations are ongoing. So it would be inappropriate for us to discuss these things, even in executive session, because we don't have the latest information from the ED about the status of those negotiations. And that's why that session was put in executive. That's why that whole meeting was an executive session meeting, because there, you know, there are a lot of tentacles out there, and the negotiations are ongoing regarding the sale of that property and other things. So I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Yeah, but I think Member Amy Brown was trying to ascertain whether or not an executive session to be done. I think that was kind of alluded to, that something could be divulged in this session. So you're saying there's really not anything to divulge, so we don't really need to consider the executive session. So that point is moot.
I'd like to say
that. Go ahead. Okay. Not at this time. Not at this time.
Okay. Got it.
Chair.
Member Sanders.
Mr. Chair, may I speak? Everybody,
yeah,
I had my
the
hand
floor
up.
Is yours.
Okay. Then, basically, and thank you, Ron, for giving the answer that I was just getting ready to give. And again, Mr. Chair, my hand was up to speak. Now, the part about the question of, or the comments that were made, which I think were, again, we're getting into out of order territory here, where you allowed a board member to continue to speak and make what I call unfounded comments, because when it was voted on as to where the individual who came onto the board would position they would hold, there were two things put before this board. The individual stated they would take X seat, and it was up to this board to vote it up or down. Everyone voted to allow the person to take the seat that they took. So there wasn't anything illegal done, and that was also what came down from Pacifica and others, that it made sense to do it in that order. So if there was anything done that shouldn't have been done, then the vote would have been different. So I'm going to leave that one as it is. And again, as I said, that was not part of the PNB report. And I am really sad that you allow this person to continue to talk, and any other information that would be shared that's important, you disregard it. Thank you.
Mr. Tatum.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My comment was about the requirements for executive session. If the PMB required that any of their information should be held in confidence, then that's what this LSB would have to do. Now, on the other hand, if this LSB wanted to discuss something, a lot of times you won't know the details until you actually go into executive session. So all it takes is a majority vote of this LSB board to go into executive session to talk about anything, which would include things that they were asked to speak in executive session, And it would also include something that nobody asked for them to go into executive session about, but they can do it in and of themselves. So those are my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Member Byfield and then Vanessa. Go ahead, Michael.
The PNB members, and my concern is about the move to try to monetize and digital, the archives of Pacifica, by a private, capitalist enterprise, Mellon Bank, I guess, or Carnegie Mellon Institute. Either way, I would think, we want to, at least have some sort of, meeting, or our representative and, get some information as to, how is that going to be conducted. And, in today's world, I would want to say that, if you guys want to take note of this, that the format that we may want to request just for accountability is a blockchain format, so that at least we have access to what any kind of royalties that is forthcoming to Pacifica.
Yeah, I guess I hear you saying that we need our representatives to stay on top of that issue and make sure that we're not being cheated out of anything that's just due to the organization. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right, you heard the charge. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay, so a couple of things. In terms of Minerva's comment about the vote that this LSB took, nowhere in the bylaws does it say that the LSB can just take a vote to undo what the bylaws says. And please forgive me for my at least attempting to abide by the document that provides the foundation and guidelines for this organization. So my apology for doing that. The bylaws also doesn't say that the PNB can just say that the bylaws can be disregarded. It doesn't give the PNB that right, and it doesn't give the LSB that right. That's how this network wound up with a profound violation of the bylaws, which says that delegates cannot serve more than 6 consecutive years. But the PNB took a vote as though it had the authority to do so. And so we had people serving beyond the stipulated number of years. The bylaw says what it says. Either we follow it or we don't. That's kind of that. I agree with Mr. Tatum in terms of, and I think Verna asked a good question, because there's so much information that PNB directors are bound not to repeat. Then we get the information, but then it's an executive session. And my understanding of executive session is that we can't even come to an executive session of this body and repeat what was said unless at the PNB it's agreed that, hey, you can divulge this information to your LSBs in executive session. So that's my understanding of how it works. But I will, you know, certainly defer to greater minds.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're at the end of that PNB report. It's now 8:50. We're supposed to go into new business. I want to make a slight adjustment and pivot if I could. I know one of the community members wanted to hear from the development committee and a report out on the 5K. I want to ask this body if that's okay if member Diamond can give her report on the 5K so that we can have that read out. Are you prepared to do that, Violetta?
Yes, I am.
All right. Any objection to having her read out her report? All right. Hearing none. Go ahead, Violetta, if you could.
Okay, good evening, everybody. We did, the report was sent around, but basically we met on October 1st, and Minerva Sanders, Marsha Edwards, and myself were present. We did some informal talking, but we didn't make any decisions. We followed up on October 7th with more of the outreach committee members, which were Martha Peterson, Art Hyland, Marsha Edwards, Mariah McLean, Sabu Hakeem, and myself. So we talked about the 5K walk, and it was a success, and the community enjoyed the activities. And so what we presented was what our committee did for the financial summary. So we are looking for the station whenever Sataria gets back or whoever is in charge to see if anything came into the station, like checks or whatever. This is just what we know about. So I guess it can be considered a preliminary report, and we want to finalize that. But from what we have, total monies collected were $4,060. And the breakdown is in the report that everybody received. And secondly, we had scheduled a town hall meeting. We're supposed to be doing two per year. And there was concern because it was during the pledge drive. Because, you know, one of the things at the town hall meeting is that the community wants to hear from the interim GM and the PD. And they agreed to be there, with the caveat if something doesn't happen during the drive. And then we got a report from Vinny that there was a problem with volunteers. So just looking at the prospect of something going wrong because we were in drive, we decided to postpone it till November. So if there are any other members here who want to add to that, you're welcome at this time.
Any other members from the development committee want to speak on the
outreach,
report?
Yeah.
Outreach, excuse me.
Yeah.
Any questions? I see Art. Did you have something you wanted to touch on?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Any questions for the, I see Byfield and Vanessa. Are those legacy hands? If so, I'm going to call on Marcia.
Hi, I'm sorry. I was having trouble raising my hand. I just wanted the record to reflect that the monies that were reported by the outreach committee, that was pretty much profit because the committee itself took care of most of, if not all of the expenses for putting on the event. So whatever the station contributed, if anything, is a wonderful thing, and I'm hoping that whatever came in after that recovered that amount. But I know a lot of the folks have put in a lot of time, and I would like to take the time to commend them for coming out of their own pockets, many of them in three figures. So the group is very dedicated to making this work and making sure that the station gets money it can use and not spend it and not allocate for expenses. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you to all that contributed to that event, for sure. Mr. Byfield.
I want to take the time to really congratulate the committee, Marsha and Martha Peterson and Sabu and the team for putting on that annual event, which is a fabulous event. And I don't, next year I'm coming to take that title from
Mariah.
I thought she was a double dutch champ.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like it was a great time. Excellent work by all. So appreciate that. All right. Any other questions for outreach? If not, then we're almost at our time to adjourn. So any other final business that we need to address? Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would strongly recommend that for the next meeting that we do have an executive session, either at that meeting or be prepared to have one prior to the next meeting, because the details about this property sale should come into a lot more focus, and this body does need to know these things. So that's my recommendation, that we'll be prepared to go into executive session either in a special meeting or at the very least the next LSB meeting.
I don't disagree, but I would just ask that the delegates keep everybody, at least the chair, Mr. Williams, informed, and the vice chair informed about, you know, the happenings, and as soon as they happen, that they can make that pivot. So, but I've got it down here on paper.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Anything else before we close out?
Yes. In our last meeting, I had recommended that we as a board needed to meet, since not twice a year, well, at least once a year. We're now in October. I did reach out, which is the chair asked me to, could do so. And for some strange reason, we, you know, the place that we typically use, mm-hmm. which is the WDC TV, has been the most dysfunctional mm-hmm. entity. I'm really scared of what I am seeing, but I'm going to continue to do that. I think we're in a very serious period in terms of fundraiser, the exhaustion, what I hear, and what I think we're going into between just several things that are happening. And I think it would behoove us that we meet as a board and try to put our heads together to at least have a clear path as to how we can manage going forward. I see 28 people on the meeting, and I know we just had new membership. So I'm surprised that I don't see half of them here. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, it was just one of those weird times in the universe. We had a lot of folks that have excused absences this evening. So, I'm sure we'll regroup in November. Anything else from the committee? If not, I'll entertain some motions to adjourn.
Want to Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that we adjourn.
Second.
There's a second. All right. So moved. Thank you all so much. I will relay the desire for an executive session up to the chair, and then we'll get more back, more information back out to everybody. So thanks. Thank you, and have a great evening.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Night.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Take care.
Good night, Joe.
All righty.
You did a fantastic night. Job tonight, Chair.
Thank you, everyone. Yes, you did a great job.
I'll see
you, everyone. Have a great evening.
Keep hope alive.
Bye-bye.